Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a good afternoon to our distinguished guests from Kabul. Welcome to this on-the-record briefing by ISAF, NTMA, and the Afghan National Army. We have with us two very distinguished speakers, Major General Jim Ferrin, who is currently double-hatted as the commanding general of the Canadian military mission in Afghanistan and the deputy commanding general of the NATO training mission in Afghanistan. And alongside him is an old friend of NATO, an old friend of myself, General Mohammad Zahir Azimi, who is the spokesman of the Afghan National Army and Minister of Defense. General Azimi's held that position since 2003. We've known him for many years, and it's great to see you here today again, General. Today there'll be a short opening statement by our guest speakers, and then we'll go to question and answer. Please just be aware there might be a slight time delay on the VTC, so please give your question time to be received and processed at the other end before you speak up again. It's very timely that we're here. The NATO and ISAF foreign ministers will be meeting in a couple of days' time to discuss progress in Afghanistan. So we're very much looking forward to hearing the views from theatre. All I would ask is when you ask your questions, please make sure that you identify yourself and your news organisation. Without further ado, generals, the floor is yours.
Chris, General Ferrin here, and I'll start off. First of all, I just want to say hello to everybody and tell you what a privilege it is today for both General Azimi and I to be with you, spend a couple of minutes explaining what we do here in Afghanistan. I know that that this is clearly a well-informed audience, and I honestly look forward to having a good dialogue with you. Chris has identified who I am, what I do for a living. Most of you, I think, are well aware that the NATO training mission here in Afghanistan is principally responsible for the training, equipping, and advising of the Afghan National Security Forces as we move throughout our mission. So with that as a very brief introduction, because I think the meat of this will be in the question and answer period, I'd like to pass the microphone over to my esteemed colleague, General Azizi. Sir.
Hi, Chris and everybody. Good afternoon. I'm General Azizi, Major General Azizi, spokesman of the Defense Ministry.
So, Chris, I think with that, please, over to you.
Who would like the first question? We'll go to Slobo AP.
Slobo Lekic from the Associated Press. A question for both of you, actually several questions for both of you. First of all, what percent of Afghan units are operating independently now? And has the recruitment reached its peak? Have you reached the 352,000 combined ANP and ANA figure that was the target? And when will it be reached if it hasn't? And are you doing more recruitment to offset attrition?
Thank you very much for that question, General Ferrin here. And I'll start off. Right now, regarding the number of units that are working independently, I'd say that a fair statement would be 80% of the units in the field are leading operations. They're actually leading the partnered conventional operations that we're working towards. And you're all aware of the tranches that we're working towards. So between 75% and 80%, very difficult to give you anything more clear than that. Regarding the 352,000, I think we're on time, on target. We've suffered a couple of delays in terms of reaching that recruiting figure. I'm relatively confident that in the spring, in the new year, February, March, sometime in that regard, we'll reach the figures that we need, both for the Army and for the police. Recruiting is steady. So we haven't necessarily surged into the recruiting. We have taken, and I will say that we took a small pause in the recruiting just to re-vet or to conduct some confirmation of our vetting procedures, primarily with the police. So that's pushed us into the February-March timeframe. But seriously, that's not a serious delay for us. I would just like to say that once those recruiting figures have been achieved, I know that you appreciate that the training then continues throughout the period of time, 2013, 2014, as we endeavor to get all of those troops into the field. So I'll turn it over to General Azimi for any amplifying comments that he may have.
Salam mujaddad ba amaytan. در حال حاضر روی ملی افغانستان و مجموع نیروهای امنیتی 80% عملیات های پلانگذاری میکنن و رهبری میکنن که این قابلیت و ظرفیت نیروهای امنیتی افغان نشان میده و همچنین با مو هدف 352,000 ما نزدیک هستیم. در حال حاضر روی ملی افغانستان که یک هدف 195,000 نفری داره نزدیک به 190,000 نفر تکمیل کرده.
Presently, the percentage for the Afghans independently planning and leading the operations is at 80%, and so it shows their capacity and capability. And also regarding the number for the security forces, it is at 190,000.
The security person, not the ANA.
The ANA only is at 190,000, close to its goal, which is 195,000.
The other thing that I have to say is that the intercontinental مسئولیت تقریبا نزدیک به 75% جمعیت افغانستان زیر پوشش تامین امنیت نیروهای امنیتی افغان قرار گرفته و این مناطقی که زیر پوشش امنیتی نیروهای امنیتی افغان قرار گرفته وضعیت امنیتی هم در این ساحات تقریبا بین 15-20% در این مناطق مشخص بهبود یافته.
And also regarding the transfer of responsibility, 75% of the population of Afghans are being taken care of as far as security is concerned by the Afghan forces. And in those areas where they are taking care of their security, the security situation has improved in those specific areas, which is under the Afghan security forces. From 15-20% improvement has been seen.
Thank you very much again for that question.
And one here from our Afghan friends.
Yes, this is Mursal Narsalah from Kabul News Television. I want to ask from General Azimi that according to the rumors that has announced by Ministry of Defense, every day four Afghan soldiers at normal point kill. Isn't it an important point that according to the rumors, does it affect the morale of Afghan soldiers? And another point that by which point they kill? By roadside bombs or by face-to-face fight with insurgents? Thank you.
رهبری میکنه 80% عملیات ها را به همو اندازه تلفات هم افزایش یافته. در 7 ماه اول سال شمسی 3.7 ماه روزانه شهید داشتیم. این در واقع معنای توانمندی اروی ملی افغانستان رو نشان میده که رهبری میکنه عملیات ها را و مستقلانه 80% عملیات ها را اجرا میکنه. بیشتر تلفاتی که ما داریم تلفات در ادنایی مین است. بین 80-85% تلفات ما از نایی مین صورت بگیره و 15% دیگه در جنگای رویارویی هسته. قابل یادآوری هست که جنگای رویارویی با طالبا به کلی کاهش یافته و به عبارت دیگر توانمندی طالبا برای جنگ رویارویی وجود نداره. تمرکزشون بالای مین است که خوشبختانه اخیراً با همکاری پای چپ در افغانستان یک توجه خاص در بخش انجینری و روی ملی صورت گرفته، هم از لحاظ تعلیمات و هم از لحاظ تجهیزات.
First seven months of this year, for example, there has been 3.7 Afghan security forces.
ANA
forces murdered, and it just shows that the increase in the casualty of the ANA forces shows that it's because because of the fact that there has been an increase of the taking of the responsibility for security, which is at 80% almost, and so that's why also the casualties have increased as well. And also most of the casualties are due to mines, which is from 80 to 85%, and only 50% of the casualties are occurring due to face-to-face fight with Taliban, and Taliban's capability has really declined grossly, and so mainly they are concentrating on the, being a threat by using mines. And fortunately, lately we have had some programs with the help of ISAF concentrating on the engineering capabilities of the ANA, and which includes, of course, training and equipping them.
I think we might get a clarification on that number later, okay. Before we go to Anna, Kim Singh up to here, please.
Can I ask General Farron, you mentioned that you have had a pause for revetting of, I think you said General, the ANP in particular. Can I ask you what exactly that revetting process comprised of, and was it something you were not, well, I'm assuming it's something you were not doing before and you're doing now, and how confident are you that this revetting will cut down the numbers of green and blue attacks we have seen recently? And can I also ask maybe a supplementary to General Azimi, do the Afghan authorities feel that because of the need to build up the ANSF figure to 352,000 and the West's ISAF's exit strategy, that the Afghan agencies like the NDS are being put under too much pressure to carry out the vetting in too short a time?
So thank you very much. I'll start off. We did a small pause for revetting. So what we did is, over the course of time, as in any skill, we've attempted to learn the lessons over time. There is an eight-stage vetting process that we are putting in place. Not we, the Afghans have put in place, and we are in full support of them. So I would really like to emphasize that the vetting procedure is being planned, organized, and led by the Afghan National Security Forces. This process includes everything from letters of recommendation, if you will. They could be verbal. They could be written from elders, tribal elders. So there is a sense of responsibility from the Afghan community in terms of those young men who are being moved into the recruiting centers. So that's a very valuable part. There is also a system in which there is a number of interviews, not fully to the extent that you would perhaps in a European environment or a North American environment, where you would use the full suite of polygraph tests, but there are some tests that are similar in nature to that to determine stress factors. There is a biometric registration that we have assisted the Afghans with in terms of trying to record people who are in the recruiting system so that we are able to better track those people through recruiting and training. We're relatively confident that these steps will support in the mitigation of the green on blue, as you said, and we prefer to use the term the insider threat. You can never predict the future, of course, and we remain vigilant. If I could just finish and just to reemphasize that this is one thing that folks don't appreciate is this is very much an Afghan-led mechanism, one that they have planned, taken the responsibility to implement, and we are there working with them, advising them on some of the lessons that we have learned over time. Sir, please.
یوهای امنیتی افغانستان به حد افزایش یافته که بتانه تامین امنیت داخلی خود تا سال 2014 انجام بده. من فکر نمی کنم که کدام فشار باشه. البته در بعضی عرصه ها چالش های ما دارین، به طور مثال در قسمت قوای هوایی یا در قسمت استخبارات، در قسمت انجینری، در قسمت مای آتش مثل سلاح سنگین، که آخرین صحبتی که امروی وزارت دفاع ایالات متحده امریکا چند روز قبل داشتین امروی معاون پالیسیشان وعده داده شد که در این معرفی کردن ای کمبودات هم اقدامات صورت بگیره. نیم ما تصور میکنیم که کاملا آمادگی برای نیروهای افغان وجود داره که بتانه پروسه ترانزیشن به موفقیت انجام بده و تقریبا تا بکنون همونطور که بیشتر عرض کردم 75% جمعیت افغانستان زیر پوشش امنیتی نیروهای امنیتی افغان قرار گرفته.
The capability of Afghan security, Afghan National Army and security forces has really increased, and we are able to take the security of inside Afghanistan up to
I suspected that might happen. We are unfortunately with the VTC capability, it tends to be affected by atmospherics from time to time. We'll reconnect, and no, it really is. It's not political atmospherics. So we're just going to try and reconnect now. So please bear with us. Talk amongst yourselves. Might be coming back up now. Just watching it now. All right, I'll give a call in a minute. Yeah, we can't see you. Let's do a sound check. Hang on a sec. Hello, Kabul. This is Brussels. Can you hear us? Over.
Chris, this is General Fair.
Is that Kafar Savak?
Chris, how do you read me now?
General, I can hear you. I can't yet see you. The sound isn't tremendously good. Can you give me another sound check, please? Over.
Chris, I'll just count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How do you read me now?
We can hear you loud and clear. I think where we left it, we were just waiting for a translation to General Azimi's answer. Is that right?
That's correct, I think. And we're ready to carry on.
General.
For us to continue?
Yes, please, go ahead. Now, if it's the SecGen, you get the satellite truck. But... yeah. Could be the weather. Could it?
It's the ISI.
It's the ISI.
Hey, Chris, I think we're back up. Do you read us over?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
And the capability of the Afghan National Army and security forces has increased, and we are capable to take the responsibility of the security inside Afghanistan by 2014, and there is no pressure. We do not feel any pressure. But the only challenges are in the air force, in the area of the air capacity, air force, and intelligence, engineering, and also fire support, heavy weapons. But there also has been some talks with the deputy for policy of the U.S. Defense Ministry, Dr. Mullen, and there has been some measures taken under consideration to be implemented regarding those shortcomings. And we are ready to take the responsibility of transition successfully, and we will be successful. And as you, as I mentioned earlier, 75% of the population of Afghanistan has been under the control of Afghan security forces. And also, we are glad to take over the responsibility of the security of Afghanistan.
Thank you.
Thanks. I think we got a question from Anna Pisonero.
Thank you. Basically, I think the spokesperson, the Afghan counterpart, has already replied to the answer. It was indeed if they think that the Afghan security forces will be ready in time to provide for their own security by 2014, and how much is dependent on improving the capacity of the Afghan forces, or how much is the Afghan government depending on a positive outcome with negotiations with the insurgents? Is this more a determining factor, or do you think it will be actually the capacity of the own Afghan national forces to be able to take on board these security threats from Taliban and other insurgent groups? Thank you.
Perhaps General Azimi would like to have a go at that second question.
One moment, please.
طبعا همه هم صبح هستن. از یک طرف ما آمادگی داریم که تا 2014 تمام مسئولیت‌های امنیتی افغانستان به عهده بگیریم. اما برای بیشتر موفق شدن از این عناصر دیگه هم تاثیرگذار هست. متاسفانه که تنها فوکس سر مسائل امنیتی آمده، در سر مسائل امنیت و ترانزیشن آمده، در حالی که عناصر دیگه هم به خاطر امنیت در افغانستان تاثیرگذار هست. مسائل حکومتداری خوب، مسائل بازسازی و توسعه اقتصادی، مسائل عدلی و قضایی، اینا هم تاثیرگذار هست. روابط منطقه‌ای هم تاثیرگذار هست. مسئله صلح هم تاثیرگذار هست. اما با وقت برها از لحاظ امنیتی، نیروهای امنیتی افغانستان این کپاسیتی رو پیدا کرده که تا سال 2014 مسئولیت امنیتی رو بگیره. بیبود اوضاع خب به عناصر دیگه هم مربوطه، اون رو من به شما عرض کردم.
There are some other elements also, of course, included in this situation. But we are ready to take the responsibility of security transition by 2014. But some of the other elements that I mentioned include elements, unfortunately, such as good governance, the development, economical development, infrastructure, issues of justice and judicial, and also the relations with the other countries in the region, peace, and but unfortunately the emphasis has been put on the transfer of security responsibility, but there are also these other elements that I mentioned, and of course these other elements will influence what will happen. But as far as the capacity of the Afghan security forces are concerned, we are able and to take over the responsibility by 2014.
Thank you. Let's go to Terry from NPR and CBS.
Thank you. I want to know what happens to the training mission after 2014. Does it wind down? Is it taken over by Afghans entirely, or is that where some of the trainers will remain posted? And a different question, when we're talking about the vetting process, one of the problems previously was that the different provinces weren't linked up by computer, so you could do good vetting in a certain province of the recruits, but that computer would not be linked to the next province, and somebody who was trying to get in for nefarious reasons could just go next door and try again. I'm wondering if those computers are yet linked up, and if those are linked up with ISAF computers so that everybody's using the same database on recruiting statistics and information on recruits. Thanks.
You know, thank you very much for that. That's a question that we are all considering right now, in particular what the face of the training mission will look like post-2014. The intent is that the Afghan National Security Forces will lead that. They will be in a position, and they're very close to that right now, that they would be able to plan, to organize, and execute that mission. What right now we are trying to do is develop more capacity through a train-the-trainer type of a program, so that there are sufficient trainers both for the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police to be able to do it. Now, the question about whether there is going to be, let's just say, a NATO training mission here in Afghanistan post-2014, that is a question that that is being, or the I'd say the concept is still being developed by the NATO staffs. There is a commitment by the NATO community that there would be a train, advise, and assist mission that would be beyond 2014. So that's really not a debate. What the discussion really is what size that will be. And right now we are all participating in that endeavor. So I think the message is the Afghans will be responsible for the training of their forces, and that there will be an advisory mission here in Afghanistan, the size yet to be determined. I think you're clearly well informed about the vetting issue. We still have challenges in terms of what I would call a full integration of the biometric system throughout the provinces of Afghanistan. It's a difficult challenge in this country in terms of, you know, you're talking about a system that would depend primarily upon a fiber optic network. And as you're probably well aware, this nation is taken tremendous leaps and bounds in terms of their communications architecture, but we're not quite there. That is a work in progress. The intent is that all of the systems throughout the country would be interoperable, but admittedly, we're not quite there yet. Sir, did you wish to add anything?
Yes.
Please.
بیشتر صحبت کنم به خاطر اینکه بیشتر مطبوعات بین المللی نگرانی های خود بعد از 2014 ابراز می داره. من می خواهیم بگم که بعد از 2014 ما یک قوت 352 هزار نفری مجهز داریم که از لحاظ تعلیمات، از لحاظ تجهیزات و از لحاظ تأسیسات به اندازه کافی قدرتمند هست. همچنین حمایت سیاسی رو ما پشت سر خود داریم. با کشورهای بسیار مهم دنیا ما پیمان استراتژیک داریم، با آمریکا، با جرمنی، با فرانسه، با بریتانیا، با ایتالیا و با ناتو. همچنین ما یک حمایت مالی 4.7 میلیارد دلاری را در کنفرانس شیکاگو همراه خود داریم. ما حمایت مردم افغانستان داریم. ناتو تعهد کرده که بعد از 2014 از لحاظ مسائل آموزش، از لحاظ مسائل لوجستیکی ما را حمایت کنه. مردم افغانستان پشت سر ما ایستادن. نظرسنجا نشان داده که بیش از 83% مردم افغانستان حمایت میکنن از ارگوی ملی خود. مسائل روابط منطقی ما در حال توسعه است. یعنی ای اواخر نشان داده که روابط منطقی ما رو به بیبود است. پروسی صلح هم احتمالاً با موفقیت نایل به. لذا ما از لحاظ نگران بعد از 2014 نیستیم. من توقع دارم که این مسئله بسیار روشن و واضح گفته شد که واقعا ما نگران بعد از سال 2014 نیستیم و در حال حاضر اردوی ملی از لحاظ سیستم ارتباطی خود به تمام مراکز خود هم از طریق ویدیو کنفرانس و هم از طریق مخابرات ارتباط منظم داره.
Regarding post-2014, there has been a lot of concerns expressed in the international by the international media. So therefore, I want to talk about that. I want to emphasize that we have an army or security force of 350,000 strong that are able to take over in regards with training, equipment, and facilities. They are capable. And not to mention, they also have the support, political support of many countries such as France, UK, NATO, the US, and we have had some strategic agreements with them. And also, we have a budget committed or promised, pledged to us, a budget of over four billion per year. And so, and also, not to mention, we have the support of the Afghan people, and also NATO's support for training, logistic, and the latest surveys show that 83% of Afghan people population they are supporting the Afghan National Army, and not further the our relations in the region with the countries are improving. And also the peace processes making some gains, and we are not concerned for the post 2014. We know that we will be successful, and I want to emphasize that we will have. We also have a communications system which you know includes video communications, video conferencing, and also through telecommunicating. So we have all this to support us.
Adrian from Reuters. From Reuters, a question for General Ferran, please. Reports from Washington say the U.S. officials are looking at a post-2014 NATO force of between 7,000 and 15,000 U.S. troops. Could a force of that size, in your view, accomplish the training and advisory mission while having enough troops to protect the force? Thank you.
That's a question right now that is being looked at by any number of staff, and it all depends upon the factors in which you're referring to. Some of the considerations that make that answer very difficult is what are the contributing nations, not just the United States, are willing to apply to the training mission and the security mission, the monies that are available, the threat situation that will be here in at the end of 2014. We always need to understand that that's 2 years left in the future. So given that all of those factors are still yet to be worked out, and given that you have to appreciate, and I know you do, that I'm on the ground right now and don't have access to the strategic level information from those contributing nations, I'd have to say let's just wait and see in terms of what actually materializes from the planning staff. Thank you.
Brooks, you've been waiting a little while now. I'll come to you, sir.
Yes. Brooks Singer, Jane's Defense. I have two short questions. When the ANA's force of 195,000 is fielded next year, if I've understood this correctly, I'm wondering what the standard equipment will be that will be issued to each of the ANA foot soldiers. In other words, if a majority of the Army was mobilized or had to mobilize for some reason, would each foot soldier have the same standard kit of weaponry and equipment that he needs? That's one question. And the second is, you've told us what the shortcomings are that you still face for the Army, but could you tell us what were the major equipment capability gaps that were filled in 2012 by the donor nations? Thank you.
Certainly, thanks very much for that. Certainly, the intent, and I think we're well on the way there, I know we're well on the way there, is to have a standardized level of equipment for each and every one of the Afghans. We're not quite there yet. What we really want them to do, each soldier, is to have a full set of body armor, which we believe is incredibly important in this environment, particularly with the IEDs, the shrapnel injuries. So you would see a standardized uniform, which we're there, ensuring that each and every soldier has a full set of body armor, has his personal weapon system with a what we would call a certainly sufficient ammunition to be able to move through any set of operation. Right now, you're asking a very specific question. We're looking at combat boots, very much what you would expect of a North American or a European soldier to have. So we're looking at standardization right across the board. The reason for that, not only for the protection of the soldier, but it's the logistics side. The art of training a soldier and fighting a soldier is one thing. It's the science of the logistics that's the most difficult. So a standardized pattern all the way across is the way to go. The shortcomings that we're working through here in 2012 from, as you say, from the donor communities, I would think that the most predominant one is providing an accelerated level or a surge level, if you will, of protection against IEDs. That is primarily taking place in the amount of training that's gone on here in Afghanistan, not just in the engineering school, the Afghan engineering school up in Mazar-e Sharif, but throughout the various regions. So that's been a tremendous accomplishment. We have right now working very hard to accelerate the level of EOD teams, so those experts for explosive ordnance disposal. We're also working on explosive hazard response teams throughout the country. So that there's been tremendous progress in terms of doing that. In terms of deploying armored vehicles, that has been not completely fielded, but largely fielded. So you see the armored Humvee, the American product, that is moving into the field. And that has been largely accomplished, but that'll continue throughout 2013. There has been some areas in terms of intelligence. General Azimi has talked about intelligence. We have the Afghans certainly have improved the capacity within the intelligence school here in Afghanistan, which is now producing MI companies, so military intelligence companies, that will be deployed to the field throughout 2013, that will be able to take their human intelligence capability, which is really quite developed in this nation, and integrate that into the fighting force. And General Azimi mentioned, if I may, he mentioned fires. Right now, there's been some very good progress in terms of the Afghan National Army's capability to bring fires into the field. And I don't want to forget, although your question was specific to the ANA, I think we should always recognize that the first responders in this nation has to be the Afghan National Police. And that although we've talked about the Army, the improvements that have been made in terms of professionalizing the Afghan police force have been steady, and we're confident that the rule of law is being well introduced into all of the training. Things like evidence-based operations are being integrated into the training plan. So hopefully that gives you an idea regarding capacity and capability development.
خود در حال حاضر ما فکر میکنیم که در مشکلات ما بسیار جدی است. اولویت اول ما در رابطه با چالش ها مسئله قوای هوایی افغانستان هست. هرچند تأسیسات زیربنایی قوای هوایی ایجاد شده. یک مرکز تعلیمی تربیتی مجهز در شندند هرات ایجاد شده. یک تعداد محصلین ما در بخش هوایی به خارج از کشور مشغول فرا گرفتن تعلیم هستند. یک تعداد هلیکوپترهای میبده روسی تیپ V5 که از آخرین مدلش است برای قوای هوایی افغانستان خریداری شده. اما هنوز ظرفیت قوای افغانستان جوابگوی بخش ترانسپورت خود نیست. یعنی باید سر از این نقطه توجه شده. موضوع دوم موضوع مایه آتش ماست. از لحاظ سلاح ثقیله و ایمای آتش قوای زمینی خود یک مقدار مشکل دارن. هرچند این بحث چند روز قبل هم به یک نتیجه رسید که یک مقدار سلاح سنگین در سال 2013 برای اردوی ملی افغانستان داده شد. موضوع سوم که ما از این نهایه بیشترین صدمه را میبینیم موضوع ماین و بخش انجنیری ماست. هر قدر که مسئولیت های امنیتی به افغانستان تعلق میگیره به امو اندازه خطرات ماین بیشتر ما تهدید میکنه و ضرورت تعلیم و تربیه و تجهیز من برای ما بیشتر هست. این یکی از مسائل اساسی است که خوشبختانه در این عرصه هم به یک نتایج رسیدیم که یک قسمت افراد ما تعلیم تربیه شه و یک مقدار تجهیزات خونسا کردن من برای افغان ها داده شه. موضوع سوم موضوع بخش استخبارات ماست. در حال حاضر ما در بخش استخبارات خود بیشتر متکی به قوای ISAF هست. باید از حال تا 2014 یک تمرکز بسیار عمیق هم روی تعلیمات و آموزش بخش استخبارات ما صورت بگیره و هم روی تجهیزات بخش استخبارات ما که خوشبختانه در این بخش هم با صحبت هایی که با دکتر میلن داشتیم و همچنین قماندان ISAF بود و خود جنرال بود و دیگه جنرال ها بودن به یک نتیجه رسیدیم. ما انتظار داریم که تا 2014 حداقل در این بخشایی که ما گفتم قابلیت های اردوی ملی افزایش یافته بیابه، هرچند که قوای هوایی که یک صنف بسیار گران قیمت است نیاز به زمان بیشتری داره.
Presently, there are four areas that we have problems, difficulties, or challenges in, and the first priority is the Air Force capability, and although we have the foundation for the facilities but and establishments, but we need to build on it, and
We do need training. We have also started a training facility for this in Shindan of Herat province, and also we have sent some members for Afghan forces to go and get training overseas, abroad, outside Afghanistan, and we have received a number of M17 Russian V5, the latest model. We have purchased some of those. They're on the in process, and but our capability presently is not able to respond to the transportation, Air Force transportation. We are not capable of that to fully respond to all the needs that we have presently. And also, secondly, we need the heavy weapons fire protection capability to improve on that. And we have had some talks regarding that, and there we have come to some decisions that we will be able to have own some of the, by 2014, we'll have some heavy weapons equipment and capabilities in that area. And third, we need some work needs to be done in the mining and engineering areas in order to, because the more the security responsibilities being handed over and given to the Afghan forces, there's a higher need for equipment, training, and all in the area, especially in the area of mining and diffusing mine threats. And the fourth, the last point is the intelligence. Presently, we are mostly dependent on ISAF capability as far as intelligence is concerned. And from here on until 2014, we're focusing a deeper focus, a concentration in the area of training and equipment. In the area of intelligence. Unfortunately, we have had some talks and discussions with Dr. Millen and the ISAF commander and the general himself and also other generals in this area, and we have come to some conclusions on this topic. And by 2014, our capabilities will be improving. And I do realize that the Air Force capability, in order to improve that, and the classes and the training is very costly and needs more time. I do realize that.
Time for a couple of more last questions, and one from our Afghan friends here.
This is Kakar from Pajwak Afghan News. My question to General Ferran. The Afghan National Security Forces casualties is a big concern for government and Afghan people. Last year, when ASAF was leading the operations, ASAF caused 560 fatalities in all year. But this year, when Afghan forces are leading the operations, every month they are facing 500 casualties. So my question is, they are not well trained, and is there any measures or planning to reduce these numbers? And my question to, for General Azimi, as he mentioned the problems in Air Force, how much he is optimistic that after 2014 they will lead the combat operation, and without Air Force the operations could not be successful.
You know, the question of casualties is always a difficult one for any professional soldier to discuss. I've been in uniform now for 37 years, and I want you to understand that from my perspective, one casualty is one too many. And I think General Azimi indicated earlier the pride that the Afghans have taken in now switching the equation to them now leading the operations. When you lead operations, there are risks. And in a war such as we're in right now, a counterinsurgency operation, there are risks that nations put their soldiers into. The planning and the preparation, the training and the equipping is right now the best that the international community can provide. We have taken the lessons learned over the last number of years and integrate them on a regular basis. the amount of equipment that the Afghan soldiers and the Afghan policemen are using today is world class. The equipment that the Air Force is using, you can never have too much, or you can never have enough, if you will, excuse me, continues to be developed. So I'm confident that given the resources that the international community is making available to Afghanistan, given the professionalism of the trainers that are here, that we are doing the very best that we can to prepare the Afghan National Security Forces to sustain the lead in a very difficult combat environment.
خب ما ابتدا اطلاع کنم که تلفات مای 500 نفر نیست مای 110 نفر حدودن اردوی ملی تلفات داشته در ماهای گذشته و حدودن 200 نفرن پلیس تلفات داشته و دلیلش هم پیشتر گفتم که چون رهبری عملیات ها به دوش نیروهای امنیتی افغان افتاده فلحاظا تلفاتشان یک مقدار افزایش یافته و یک تاثیر دیگه هم برای افزایش تلفات مسائل معین بوده افغان ها با آن قدر تجهیز نیستن مثل قوای ناتو از لحاظ تجهیزات خونسا کردن مین یا تجهیزات حفاظتی مین در قسمت قوای اولی از یک طرف جامعه جهانی تعهد کرده که ما به تمام تعهدات خود در رابطه با قوای امنیتی افغانستان متعهد هستیم و در جلسه چند روز قبل مسئله قوای اولی بحث اساسی ما را تشکیل میداد که یک تعهدات در این رابطه صورت گیریم و همچنان ایالات متحده امریکا که تامین کننده اصلی اردوی ملی افغانستان و قوای امنیتی افغانستان است یک تعهد دیگه هم همراه ما داره که تا سال 2016 150 بال انواع تیارات مختلف به اختیار قوای هوایی افغان بگذاره هرچند که ما در حال گفتگو هستیم که این زمان یک ذره کوتاه‌تر بشه اما همونطور که عرض کردیم قوای هوایی از یک طرف یک صنف گران قیمت است و از طرف دیگه یک سنف زمانبر است یعنی شما وقتی یک پیلوت تربیه میکنین به سالها وقت ضرورت دارین دیگه ما امیدوار هستیم که بعد از 2014 قوای هوایی افغانستان هم بتونه پاسخگوی نیازهای ما باشه اما به هر صورت این نقطه بسیار مهم است افغانستان به هر قیمتی که شده بعد از سال 2014 باید یک قوای هوایی داشته باشه که بتونه نیروی زمینی از اون حمایت کنه و فضای از اون تامین کنه
Chris, this is General Farron. I personally only have about another 5 minutes, so if I could just leave that with you. And I would appreciate the opportunity maybe for 30 seconds at the end to just make some closing remarks. So if I could lay that with you, I'd appreciate it.
You really want... Okay, hang on. Hold on. Let...
I'm sorry, for translation, please.
Oh, for the translation, Chris.
First of all, I want to make a correction there that the casualties for the Afghan National Army is 110 per month and for the police is 200 per month.
About
200 per month. And the reason for that is that, mentioned before, the leadership of the security is basically mostly upon the Afghans now, and they're taking more responsibility, therefore their casualty is also increasing. And also, the second thing that's having a high impact in the casualty area is the issue of the mines, and as NATO has the capability of defusing and eliminating the mines before it becomes a threat, Afghans do not have the same capability presently. And the international community has made a commitment to us, and they're going to be able to deliver the commitment, and since we also had a meeting a few days ago regarding this Air Force issue, which was the main topic of the meeting, and we have been given a promise that there will be some measures taken in this area, and uses the main funder of the Air Force for Afghanistan, and they have been a commitment that by 2016 there will be 150 airplanes of a variety of airplanes given to the Afghan Air Force, and right now we are in the process of shortening that timeline
to sooner, to make it happen sooner. And as I mentioned earlier, I do want to emphasize again that we do know that the equipment and equipping the Air Force is a very costly and time-taking process. And for example, just to train a pilot takes years, and we are aware of that issue. Despite all of that, we are hopeful and we are going to take, by 2014, we'll be able to respond to all the needs of our security here in Afghanistan at any cost. We should be able to do that at any cost. Our Air Force needs to be able to be ready and poised to take care of its security on the ground and also all over Afghanistan.
Just before you wrap up, General, we had one very, very brief last question from Associated Press. Slobo, if you can make it quick, please.
Just for General Azimi, about the casualty figures for the ANA and ANP, you said it's 110 and 200 on average. Does that include both injured and dead, or is it just those killed in action? And just one more question on the Air Force, the C-27 transports. How are they being integrated into the Air Force? There were reports that there were some problems with them.
تعداد تقریبا 110 یا 112 نفری که ما در هفت ماه گذشته در هر ماه شهید داشتیم و حدودا 200 تا 220 نفری که پلیس ملی داشته اینا کاملا مربوط به اردوی ملی و پلیس ملی می باشه. در رابطه با C-27 بگم تمام C-27 هایی که به اردوی ملی افغانستان داده شده در حال حاضر زیر ترمیم هست و هیچ کدامشان قابل استفاده نیست در حال حاضر.
Regarding the C-27, they are not usable by Afghan Air Force. And regarding the numbers, they pertain to the ANA and ANP. But I just want to make a clarification to General Azimi that you're asking, just to make sure that he answers the second part.
100. No,
the injured are not included in this, only those who are murdered.
If I could add on to the C-27. Right now, the international community is looking at how to provide a medium lift, fixed wing logistics capability to the Afghan Air Force. There is a number of ways that we're looking at doing that right now. Certainly, there is a C-208, which is a Cessna version, a large Cessna version, that is filling some of the gaps. We're looking at also some leased aircraft throughout the country that are providing an interim solution while the international community examines the various options for the future. And clearly the future, as General Azimi indicated, for the Air Force is going to move out beyond 2014 to 2016 to 2017. And as you all appreciate, the equipping of an Air Force is serious business, as is anything else in this nation. But aircraft are a high price ticket item. Thank you.
Thank you.
General, I think thank you very much. We've taken an awful lot of questions there. Would you like the opportunity to just wrap up for a few seconds?
Chris, I would, very briefly. If I could just sincerely thank the journalists that are there. Right now, it's difficult at times to get the international community's attention around the problems that we're facing in Afghanistan. The world is a very chaotic place, and I understand that everybody's attention shifts to the situation at hand. But right now, if you look at Afghanistan and you look at the future of Afghanistan, and you just take five simple parameters, look at the comparison over the last decade, if you will, in terms of governance. If you look at the figures that demonstrate that the educational prospects for both boys, girls, men and women is absolutely phenomenal, the improvement that's occurred over the last 10 years. You know, the United Nations has released figures in terms of the economic growth. Healthcare is simply astonishing in terms of the last 26 years. You have a infant mortality has decreased by 26%. And of course, for those of us in the theater, it's always heartbreaking when you see the ravages of war and the effect on children and the youth. And all of that inside a security bubble. These 350,000 policemen and soldiers and Air Force that are making all of that possible. So I just really want to take the opportunity to thank everybody there, Chris, to thank you personally for putting this together and giving us the opportunity to share some of the ground truth that occurs here in Afghanistan. So I thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Chris, everybody.
To both our guests from Kabul, thank you for being peppered for the last hour or so, and for all of you for being so patient with our technical difficulties there. I think it was well worth it. For your information, we do have bios of both our guests available in hard copy that Luca's got, and the audio file will go online shortly after this meeting's finished, and we will have a transcript online. I suspect it won't be until tomorrow. So thank you once again all, and thanks a lot to you in Kabul.
Важлива для нашої держави. Вона забезпечить людям.
This program is very important for our country, for our children and for our grandchildren, because it's very important to live without fear. And I